Let's go to the hotline and welcome in our guest for this segment, Eric Edholm, fantasy contributor to the Monday Morning Quarterback, themmqb.com. If you haven't checked it out, the website that was launched as part of Sports Illustrated online, devoted entirely to football, a great site to be able to check out. Lots of good guys contributing to it, and includes Eric. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Not a problem. Welcome to the program. We were talking so far this hour a couple of times. We'll get your take on this. Peter would not let me do this, but I pushed Andrew Luck to a certain extent to the side and was looking at RG3, Russell Wilson, and Colin Kaepernick and asking folks to be able to rank where they think they will finish by the end of the year when it comes to points. Eric, what say you?
Oh, man. That's hard for me to do, pushing Luck to the side, because I happen to think he might make the biggest jump of any of those guys. So I'll just put that out there. I know the rushing totals were nice and cosmetic last year, and they may fall back a little bit, but you know, I could see his completion percentage going up 8 or 10 points this year, especially in this new offense, West Coast system, Pep Hamilton, the familiarity. But of those other guys, I mean, you know, Russell Wilson put up a fantastic statistical season. It would be hard for me to imagine him improving on that greatly, especially if Percy's out for a while, especially if Sidney Rice is limited. So I think he might be a little static. I mean, he might be a better quarterback, but I don't know if the numbers necessarily go up. Obviously, with Kaepernick, we're getting likely a full season out of him, assuming he stays healthy. I love his chances to get a little bit better statistically. He averaged, 1.9 TDs per game last year, so that number could go up too. I actually think Griffin, you know, I'm not worried about his knee now. I'm worried about what injury he's going to suffer next. I just feel like the other shoe's going to drop at some point.
I just keep fearing that also his primary options didn't get healthy enough, and Pierre Garçon's foot is a lingering issue. But let's take you to Chicago and the new Mark Trestman offense, where nobody hits in practice. Given the number of injuries that we have and the violence of the sport, is that a good thing to try to keep guys healthy? Because they're still falling by the wayside there in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, Chip Kelly's doing something similar in Philadelphia. You know, there are other teams who take that approach. Then you have the old school guys like Andy Reid who like to hit a lot in practice and training camp. So, you know, I haven't really noticed any difference in terms of injuries. Actually, the Bears have been struck by a lot of injuries. Some of them are the 1 or 2 day or 1 or 2 week variety, but they've obviously had some other ones that are concerning, you know, especially in the trenches. So, you know, hopefully they can stay healthy. I think it's just one of those fluky things. And, you know, maybe guys are spending too much time in the weight room and not enough on the field, you know, with the reduced OTAs and all that stuff. But that's another discussion. I'm just fascinated to see what Trestman does. I think he's going to really use Matt Forte smartly. I want to see where Alshon Jeffrey is, and I want to see what this offensive line is capable of doing.
Let's keep it in the NFC North, Eric. We're talking basically the Vikings told Greg Jennings to be very, very quiet about going out on Aaron Rodgers. But I'm kind of concerned, what are the numbers that we expect for Jennings out there, especially now with Percy Harvin not being a part of the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean he's somebody who may not be healthy for 16 games. And you know, everybody who knows Jennings and who knows Percy Harvin know they are far from the same thing. I mean, they're different players. You know, they're not, one is not replacing the other. So it's probably going to be more Cordarrelle Patterson who takes some of those Harvin reps. And as we saw last year with Jarius Wright, you know, it's going to take a rookie a little while to get into the system a little bit. I think there are some nuances that have to be, you know, figured out. And I'm guessing Patterson, you know, you look at Harvin's rookie season, he played about 500 snaps. I could see the same kind of thing being a big impact on the kickoff returns and, you know, sort of simpler plays where he's getting the ball close to the line of scrimmage and trying to get damage after the catch. As far as Jennings, I mean, he's got to be that first down guy. You know, he's got to be the guy who gets 7 yards on 3rd and 6 and really finds a way to get open and gives Christian Ponder help. But I just feel like we might be seeing a 12 or a 13-game season on him. He showed the Knicks last year, and maybe they carry over a little bit.
Eric Edholm is our guest, part of the Monday Morning Quarterback with SportsIllustrated.com, MMQB.SI.com. Eric, let's look at the NFC East, which is always interesting, but let's hone in specifically on Philadelphia. I think there's a lot of people that are curious to see what that team is going to look like.
Including Chip Kelly.
offensively for sure. When you see Chip Kelly coming in, there's a lot of weapons on that team, not the least of which is their quarterback. As you've watched Philadelphia here getting ready for the season, what are your thoughts on what to expect out of them?
Yeah, they're going to be one of the, you know, 5 or 6 teams that I'm probably most interested in watching in the preseason. And heck, we may see a more vanilla version of what they end up doing. Obviously, we know about the tempo. That's going to be one of the, you know, the hallmarks of this offense is, you know, pushing the tempo, maximizing the number of plays, giving yourself more opportunities, and, you know, in theory, keeping the defense off the field as long as you can. You know, LeSean McCoy, I think everybody universally agrees that he's going to be used in a variety of ways, you know, motioning into and out of the backfield as a receiver, running the football. I mean, Chip Kelly's run game was a huge part of what he did at Oregon, and sometimes that gets, you know, swept under the carpet a little bit. That's why I think people are curious to see what Bryce Brown can do, if he can hang on to the football too. So, you know, both guys draw some real intrigue here. You know, McCoy obviously a lot higher up than Brown, but that's a big factor, especially with Macklin going down, Riley Cooper's status sort of up in the air. I also think you can't overlook the tight end position, especially with James Casey coming on board. I think he's going to be a huge factor as an H-back.
Get a little bit of Zach Ertz for you, too, so you can go all tight end. Sure. And then we look at – go ahead, Eric.
No, I like the three guys they have, Celica, Ertz, and, you know, I mean, Clay Harbor's an athletic guy, too, so they may keep four.
Keep bouncing it around. You follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm, E-D-H-O-L-M. Stay out east. Let's go to the AFC East and Tom Brady. My board, I'm not scared, or I ain't scared, or however you do it to contract things in the Twitterverse. Who steps up? Obviously, Aaron Dobson, a guy with highlight reel catches, but a rookie that comes in. Health of Gronkowski, a question. How much of a drop-off do we see in production, or the lack of a team stepping up in that division? Does that keep him among the elite?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've kind of been used to the Patriots by this point in training camp, sort of the offense being ahead of the defense the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. We've seen reports where, you know, I mean, they've been absolutely unstoppable out there. Hasn't been the case this year, but there have been enough positive signs along the way, and given the Patriots' history for finding players, you know, under rugs and behind couches and things like that, I mean, they're going to be able to fill those voids. One guy I think can do it if he's healthy is Julian Edelman. We know about Danny Amendola. I'll just assume he's going to be a 100-catch guy if he's out there for 16 games. But Edelman, to me, you know, the fact that he's able to come back and practice, look spry right away coming off the foot injury, that's a huge development for him. We know Dobson, you know, maybe Josh Boyce is a little slower developing. I think at some point, you know, they're going to be able to get something out of Zach Sudfeld, this undrafted rookie out of Nevada, play with the pistol with Kaepernick there, with a factor. You know, he's a tall guy, athletic guy. I'm surprised he wasn't drafted. He's looking like a steal right now. So, you know, it's going to be a committee approach, and they'll run the ball better than they have, and more often than they have in recent years. So, all hands on deck, and I think Brady's going to eventually find ways to really beat people with this array of talents.
From the Monday Morning Quarterback, part of Sports Illustrated, it's Eric Edholm. Eric, appreciate the time this morning. Thanks for checking in with us on Fox.